Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and Brian Clark is a senior fellow and director at the Center for Defense Concepts and Technology at the Hudson Institute. He's an expert in naval operations, electronic warfare, autonomous systems, military competitions, and wargaming. Former Navy submariner is back on with us to talk about an article and this concept of AI in combat situations. Brian, how are you?
Great to be here. Thank you very much.
Hey, great to have you back. Listen, this piece that a lot of people saw in the New York Times over the weekend talks about AI weapons being used in combat situations. And your theory or your take on this is that we're not quite ready, that more integration is needed, right?
Right. Yeah. So what ends up happening a lot of times is we field new systems or technologies without really thinking about how they fit in with the rest of the force. You know, so we'll come up with a new gadget, you know, new unmanned vehicle, a new drone, or some new, sensor technology. We'll send it out there. And then folks in the field have to figure out how to use it. And so what that ends up usually resulting in is a period of adjustment and, you know, development of tactics. And it's usually fairly slow going. But what we're seeing with AI is, you know, not much preparation in terms of the force being ready to use this new technology. And it really gets applied mostly to doing things like image recognition, assessing intelligence data, but not really used for some of the higher purposes that, you know, people have maybe envisioned for it.
Yeah, and so have we learned some of this in the Ukrainian situation and some of the right. some of the technology that they're using that we've set over?
Yeah, so the Ukrainians have gone beyond just using AI to help figure out, is this a tank or is this a truck? And instead are applying it to come up with your courses of action or tactics. So they're using the AI to help them think through options for commanders to be able to execute a mission. You know, so they'll use it to evaluate the information coming in from commercial satellite data, assess the situation, figure out what tasks need to be performed, and then the AI will help them come up with a plan. You know, so it's just like having a little staff there in the form of these machine learning algorithms that help formulate a plan for do they go execute, and then they promulgate that out, and then the troops carry out the mission. So that's been a really interesting application of AI. And then you only get better at that as you go because the system learns from successful missions or unsuccessful missions what works and what doesn't work. So you're seeing the Ukrainians use that pretty effectively. The Russians have not done that nearly as much from what we can tell.
Yeah, and you know, with all the drones and the number keeps growing, and those are great to have, but they've got to be able to communicate with these other systems, right?
Right. Right. And so the, what often and what we've seen in the U.S. is, you know, drones get fielded and they get kind of treated as their own special project and they have special operators that operate on them and they, you know, obtain data and that data is then sent over to the intelligence community. And it exists in this separate world from the rest of the military where the tanks and the ships and the airplanes all operate. And so the U.S. military is trying to tackle this idea of integration. So how do we actually bring these unmanned systems, you know, into the force so that they're, you know, loyal wingmen or they're teamed an unmanned unmanned team to be able to really contribute as a part of a, you know, kill chain, to use the military term. So, you know, they're embedded in the force in the same way that the people and the airplanes and the troops and tanks and ships are today. Which has been hard because, we're used to integrating the force with procedures. So we write a document, we all read the document, we get trained on how we're going to fight, and then we go off and fight. But with these machines, you have to do it all via machine-to-machine communication and algorithms. So instead of just saying, we're going to train everybody to fight in the same way, now we got to figure out, how do I train the machine to fight or to operate the same way that we do, the people do, and then make sure that it's actually going to, you know, adapt as things change, because I kind of trust that the person that's been trained in the same school I got trained in is going to operate the same way I did. But with the machine, you're not entirely sure if it's going to react the same way as
right.
the person until you get that experience. So, yeah, because the machine is, you know, because now we're talking about, you know, algorithms instead of training, it's just a different approach that you have to take to integrate them into the force.
That's so interesting. We're talking to Brian Clark here on the National Defense, head of the Center for Defense Concepts and Technology at the Hudson Institute. He just released a new report Unalone and Unafraid, a plan for integrating uncrewed and other emerging technologies into U.S. military forces. And Brian, something in your report talked about in a complex high-end conflict like the military might face against China, mass alone won't be enough. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so yeah, the discussion right now in the DoD is, you know, they just started this new program to buy thousands of unmanned systems or drones and field those very quickly. So in the next 2 to 3 years, with the idea that that mass is going to overcome the challenges posed by a country like China that has a geographic advantage of if we were to have a fight over Taiwan, for example. And the problem, though, is that, you know, mass alone is not going to solve the problem because China has a lot of defenses. It's right there nearby. It can shoot down a lot of drones, whether they're on the water or in the air. And we need to think about, you know, how do we make the drones operate more, you know, intelligently with their human counterparts so that we can actually create, you know, complexity for the Chinese. So the Chinese can handle, you know, just a linear extrapolation of our current force and making it larger because they know how to shoot down our airplanes. They knew how to attack our ships. So if we just expand the number, that doesn't really solve the problem. We've got to make it so that the force operates differently and that they are faced with more complexity because the fleet will operate differently, the aircraft will operate differently with these manned and unmanned teams. So, you know, instead of it just being a bunch of planes that are going to launch missiles, manned or unmanned, you have to have it so that maybe the planes are sometimes sensors, some are shooters, some are doing jamming, and they change roles during the course of an operation. So if you're the Chinese, it's hard to really diagnose exactly what you're facing, and you're constantly having to adapt. That makes it more likely that we would succeed against a country like a China. Whereas if we just throw mass at them, you know, they're used to dealing with that, and they'll have a way to address that with their self-defense systems.
Yeah, it's so amazing to think about the technology that is out there right now. But at least we've got smart guys like Brian Clark thinking about this. Thank you so much, Brian. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.